Welcome to the Brew Drink Run podcast, brought to you by the only website that promotes brewing your own beer, consuming the best craft beers in the world, and then running off the calories, brewdrinkrun.com.
Oh, hey. Forgot we're doing this. Welcome to Brew Drink Run, episode number 178, your craft beer running and home brewing podcast. My name is Lee.
I am, in fact, Keith.
I am possibly Raymond.
If you like this show.
Totally Raymond.
Totally Raymond. Please rate title Totally Raymond on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you grab your podcasts, and write a short review. Your ratings and reviews of Totally Raymond help more people find Totally Raymond, or you can tell a friend about Totally Raymond by posting about Totally Raymond, hashtag Totally Raymond, on Facebook or Twitter. Do that. Also tag us at Brew Drink Run, because we are not actively following the Totally Raymond. This is our big show. On our big shows, we talk about running and home brewing, but of course, we talk about beer, and we're going to start with one right now. Keith, what have you got for us?
I have Scofflaw Brewing Company's Basement India Pale Ale. This is an India Pale Ale. In fact,
nice.
Wow. Yeah.
Sorry, I hadn't turned the can over around yet. 7.5% ABV, 100 IBUs. That's pretty impressive for not a double IPA.
Yes.
And yeah, it was packaged. Let's see here. Oh, it's a little off center on the print, but I got 7/26/2017.
Yes.
So we got it's relatively fresh, like a month. This is a month old can of beer. So. So there you go. Scofflaw, for those who might not know or be familiar with them, if you're listening to us outside of the Georgia area, they're an Atlanta brewery who has kind of exploded locally. They are went from, you know, just getting started to everyone wanting everything they do. They produced a ton of hazy, cloudy, fruity, juicy IPAs seems to be their thing, although there are other beers in their repertoire. I did have a Imperial Stout from them that our friend Paul at Your Pie got on tap, and it was really good. I was glad to see something other than just another big, you know, fruity, juicy, cloudy IPA, you know, so that was nice to see that. So so that's what we got here. We got Basement from them. It is it's one of their canned IPAs. So.
Yeah, I would suppose you would call Basement their flagship. I mean, that seems to be the one that I see out the most. Their cans, I believe they only very recently started canning, right? It was just keg only for, or draft only for a little bit.
I want to say in the past 4 to 6 months, cans started showing up here in Savannah. Maybe it might have been a little bit sooner in like their local Atlanta market, but it was a spattering of cans, and I think the same thing happens here. They show up, they disappear, they show up again a couple, like a month and a half later or so.
For Savannah listeners who are looking for this, I was able to pick this up at Largo Beverage over on Waters, and it was 2 weeks old when I picked it up. Nice. So I dragged my feet about getting it to the podcast here. So not bad if you're looking for some fresh Basement in cans, and a number of places around town have been able to get it on draft, so you might want to check your local Untappd or Tap.
Yeah, we're seeing it on. We're seeing a lot of their beers, I think, in draft form down here as opposed to cans more frequently. And I haven't seen that they're canning too many varieties of their beer at this point, so that's fair. They might be using a mobile canning line that can only show up at certain times, so that there's a lot of logistics to work out with that.
Raymond is holding one of these cans in his hand. What does the can look like if you're looking at it, if we're looking for it on your shelf?
Pretty dramatic looking can, mostly black labeling. With the, and we've talked about this before and how I think Lee and I both kind of like this style where the logo, the text is actually the aluminum of the can. So it's got that shininess up against the black, which is really kind of dramatic.
So is this a printed can, not a labeled can?
It is a printed can. Yeah. So the black is printed.
Yeah, you're talking about being like a flagship. They're all in. I'm here to tell you, you got to buy a lot of these cans. So
it's money and time and all that.
Yeah, there is a plan to fill many cans of Basement. So
Yeah, the only thing that's not black and silver here is the words basement, which there's a big one on the main label, and then it's printed a couple of times around the rim of the top rim of the can, and those are in a nice yellow gold.
Have you guys seen any of their other beers canned? Do they always just have the goat logo and Scofflaw and then the
individual beer? I feel like I have picked up stuff, but maybe in Atlanta and not here. But I think there's another brand of theirs that I've picked up along the way up there. I don't think this is the only thing they're canning.
I'm just curious how the label changes, because you know with some of the
breweries, if I did in fact find something else, it was very similar. Yeah. I mean, I think it had the similar kind of branding, but it might have been like the sticker put on the sticker style. Mm-hmm. So gotcha. I feel like this is sort of the beer they're hanging their hat on.
Yeah.
And they ordered a bunch of cans, and I think that they maybe picked up a labeler to do smaller things and allow for growth.
So. Yeah. Because I'm just curious, because you do see a lot of breweries do this, kind of go all in with the major brewery branding, big up front on the can or the bottle, and then just change the beer name in a couple of different places in it. I was curious if they also were changing the color or anything else, because again, you're thinking about shelf and recognizability. There's no question this is a Scofflaw beer, but if they have, or when they have, several on the shelf, I was wondering how easy it would be to discern between the different beers. But neither here nor there. It is a pretty striking can. There aren't a lot of really just dark, deep black cans on shelves. So I feel like that's...
It does stand out. Yeah.
That's a pretty good look. And kind of how they brand themselves, it falls right in line with that. We've got it in glasses too, Raymond. What does the basement look like in a glass?
The can actually calls this a... a deep persimmon. I don't know that I know what a persimmon really looks like.
Wow.
But
it's not pretentious. Deep. Is it deep persimmon?
It is.
It's not a shallow persimmon. It's deep.
It is a cloudy IPA. Although, I will say that Lee, yours is way cloudier.
Well, we can talk about mine in a minute.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little different than Keith and my glass here. But it's still very cloudy, nice yellow, rich, kind of pineapple-y color to me, and straight-up IPA.
How much difference would you say is there between Keith's pour and your pour? Take a look at both of them. Hold them up to the light. They came from two different cans from the same six-pack batch.
Different cans, different... I'd say Keith's is maybe a little clearer than mine.
Seems
a little bit,
to
but yeah. not significantly.
Not significantly, but a little bit clearer. We'll get into this in a minute.
just to slightly interrupt, I was looking on my Untappd, and I had one other canned beer from them, and it did have the sticker application. So that was Double Jeopardy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that one had a sticker application. So clearly they have... a bunch of these cans, but they also have the ability to kind of produce what they want. So we'll continue with what we're talking about, but I just want to clarify that that is in fact true.
Yeah. Cheers. Okay. The aroma on this beer. What are you getting, Keith?
It's nice. It's kind of got a little bit of like kind of sweet, sugary fruitness, but there's there's a nice bit of pine coming in.
It's juicy, right? We would call this juicy.
It's juicy, but I think it has a good bit of balance to it for a juicy. I get a little bit of that kind of just piney, pine tree kind of thing going on in there, but it's nice.
But it goes really right along with that mango, pineapple, tropical fruit.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely more fruitiness than pine going on here. And yes, you hit on definitely the pineapple, I think, is like the top note for me.
Yeah.
And there's some passion fruit and mango and those kinds of things going on in there.
Yeah. Kind of right in the wheelhouse of a lot of the really hot IPAs that a lot of us are searching down these days.
Power of suggestion. It said lemongrass, so I've been tasting that I read it on the can. And that's
I didn't get any lemongrass, but way to research.
What about persimmon? Did you get persimmon?
Just in the color.
And I did find it to be very deep.
Yeah, good.
It wasn't a shallow persimmon. Oh, okay. It was very deep.
They are never sending us anything.
Well, they didn't send us this. I'll pay for this. Yeah, but, you know. All right. Taste. I'm very, very curious on taste for you guys. I think we've all had this beer before. I'm looking around. Raven has it. Yeah.
Okay. I've had it on numerous occasions. Yeah. Here's the thing about, I think, that has come about with me with Scofflaw is I've really generally enjoyed all of the IPAs that I've had from them.
Yeah.
And they're all, I can't distinguish any of them. They're all super juicy, fruity, which is great because
the double IPA, the Double Jeopardy, I do remember it being denser and chewier and
not
as bright like this, like okay. I would consider this to be. But
I haven't delved that much into all of their beers. Yeah, exactly.
You got full on persimmon.
But I haven't had everything that they've put out.
No.
You know, I've had a small smattering of things. I've had like the Pog, there's been all these different things that have come out and they've all been really good. I mean, I'm not going to say that there's anything, but there's not anything too different between all of these IPAs that I've seen come out.
Yeah.
But they're all really enjoyable.
But they're very good.
They're very good.
I think that is hard when you come out of the gate relatively with several of the same style.
Right.
It would be, I mean, I know the brewer knows what's different because he's putting those ingredients in and he's writing these recipes.
Yep.
But for the casual drinker who goes, it's like, oh, there's a different Scofflaw IPA. Right. I'll try that.
Yeah,
and you're like, I don't really, but you're not drinking them side by side. You're not.
Exactly. And I think if we were living in the Atlanta area and had more opportunities to go to more bars and places that were serving this on draft, we'd get a taste for these different things. But I spottingly occasionally get to pick up a six pack, a four pack, have something on draft when I go out to dinner, you know, down here in Savannah. And they all kind of have blended. And which is why I said earlier that the stout to me really stood out because I was like, oh, they actually make something that's not a kind of hazy, lazy, juicy, fruity IPA. Yeah. I was like really surprised by that. And that is the beer that stood out to me among any of these. Now, right now I'm drinking this beer and I really like it.
It's really good.
It's like orange juice IPA. It's like super amazing. It's really good.
And the flavor profile with this and some of these other IPAs they came out with really got Scofflaw a hot reputation relatively fast.
This is a
beer culture where Tropicalia is still something we can't get from Creature Comforts.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And where there are a ton of New England IPAs from like Treehouse and from all these other breweries that are super hot that people want that juicy, tropical, bigger IPA. And that Scofflaw really did well with a couple of these beers right out of the gate. And so they became quite a darling. And that's always fun for semi-local a brewery like that to us. To get some heat and to people to be excited about.
Yeah.
But as a part of that, they've tripled their brewing capacity in a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
And perhaps because of that, or perhaps not, there has been some criticism online about quality control or, you know, people having not the ideal experience with buying the cans and drinking the beer at home. I haven't heard any draft stories. I think that's a little bit easier, different to take care of at like a restaurant.
Well, I mean, draft is different anyways.
I
mean, you don't know what any bar is doing to take care of their lines and cleanliness and those kinds of things. So that's something that I think about working in a brewery. I'm like, we send these kegs out there and you see people, you know, on Untappd or check into something and they're drinking it on draft and they say things that I'm like, really, you're tasting that? And I'm like, I wonder how clean the lines are at this particular bar, but you can't control that. You got to just kind of, you know, you got to deal with those issues. So if you're tasting weird off flavors, it might not be a brewery's fault. Maybe it is, you know, it just depends on the situation. Yeah. So,
yeah. And while this is the first six pack of Scofflaw beer that I've bought, I've been happy with every beer I've had from the six pack has been good. I haven't had any complaints about any of it, but there are other people who have gone online and have written their Scofflaw stories and notified the brewery that they were not happy, that they were having major differences within a six pack with the same bottling date or same canning date with in terms of color, in terms of flavor, in terms of the gamut of what they were expecting from the beer. And Scofflaw responded to some of that feedback in kind of an unconventional way. You know, where
say the least,
where a lot of companies would be like, "Oh, thanks for letting us know. We're growing. We're working really hard. You know, please take it back to your local establishment." You know, some sort of a way to try to rectify the situation or acknowledge it in a way that maybe was business-like.
Right.
Instead, what Scofflaw did was they posted a photo on their Facebook page. You can go to facebook.com/Scofflaw Brewing Co. to visit their Facebook page. You want to scroll back to, August the 15th, and you'll find a picture there of the brewery staff all raising a middle finger salute to the internet for how a few people, and what I mean, it's probably a very small number. I mean, beer nerds are loud and they're passionate, but honestly, the percentage of people buying their beer and then they're going to take the time to write a negative review has got to be very small.
Right.
And so it seems like they took it very personally that they were getting this feedback and issued this. And Paste Magazine, they're doing a great job with their beer coverage of late. And they have a lengthy little think piece about this and about how Scofflaw responded. And they actually have some of the quotes from Scofflaw there. So that may even be an easier place to go and just kind of get a distilled version of the story. And, you know, they basically just say that kind of that they're not professional and they're just kind of doing what they're going to do. And if you don't like it, don't buy their product. It was a very interesting kind of story. I'll go ahead and read their response really quickly. I don't want to like take words out of their mouth. This is what they posted. "This is a small batch brewery. The amount of time a beer spends in a tank, sometimes due to limited human resources, variance in ingredients, and other shit like this affects the beer." Sidebar, yeah, I bet it does. "We do not have hops contracts this year. We are small, so we get the shittiest picks of hops. Grain does not all come from the same field. We tinker with all inputs to work to improve the beer. This is part of what makes small batch brewing and craft brewing what it is. I know there are a lot of experts out there, so to you, if you want to get schooled on this, drop by and speak to Travis or one of our other biologists. On the other hand, if you want more consistency, you can find plenty of brands that never try to improve, brands that have the money and access to gigantic tanks that they can blend into to make more consistent beer. We will gladly give you some recommendations. By the way, other craft breweries have these issues, exploding cans, SRM color variances, haze variances. Give them a break. Don't think this is professional. Well, that's good, because I'm not a professional. I am an effing Scofflaw." That was how they responded to it.
Yeah.
And it's curious way to respond to what I have to assume is a small amount of criticism.
Yeah. So I'm familiar with this. Raymond is hearing this for the first time. So I'll be curious.
He looks very bemused.
I will be curious to see what he has to input this. But coming from someone who works in the industry, I think that is absolutely the wrong response. I mean, I think that if somebody responds negatively, you reach out to them on a personal level, especially if it's in Facebook or something like that. You send a personal message if you can, or say, "Hey, we're sorry this has happened. We're sorry you're not pleased. Understand that we're trying to grow and it's difficult." But to go out and just, you know, basically cry boo hoo, your job, as I see it, in any business, is to put out the best product you have, and to just throw out, just basically they're saying, "Hey, this is what we got to work with," or throwing out the best we can, deal with it. That's not really your job. Your job is to put out what you think is your beer and your quality of beer. I mean, at, you know, the brewery that I work at, we've been dealing with the same thing, and I will put a little caveat here. They have grown faster than a lot of craft breweries, especially here in the state of Georgia. So not having full on contracts and be able to guarantee your hops and those things, those are an issue, and they maybe have not had the ability to slowly tweak the hops that they're using to kind of, you know, bridge the gap between what was originally the beer and what is, what, you know, trying to replace those hops and those kinds of things. I get that, but that you don't flip the middle finger to people who don't understand how generally difficult it is. And I, you know, when I was kind of reading through, scrolling through a lot of that,
there are a lot of comments on that post.
So, you know, and one of the, and I didn't spend a whole lot of time on it because I kind of had my opinion about it, and I was like, wow, I can't believe they did this. And there were a lot of people who praised them for their attitude about it, and I'm like, good, okay, well, they're your fans, and they're gonna, if you put out crap, they're gonna keep drinking it. Good for them, I guess. Good for you, you know. But there was someone who. Who took the Scofflaw logo, and it's and their logo is a goat, and there's like these kind of like sort of like baaing, like, you know, like noise lines that they put in cartoons and stuff.
Talking lines.
There you go. And someone said, "Here, I fixed your logo for you." And they moved the lines up to the eyes, and they made it Scofflaw Brewing. Wow, brewing's hard. And that's kind of exactly how I felt like when I was looking at, and when I stopped looking at the comments, and I was like, yeah, they kind of nailed it, which is, yes, it is hard, and you have to deal with these things, but you don't deal with it by attacking the people who only want you to do well.
Well, here's my problem with that, and I think you encapsulated it really well, is they're trying to play the victim and the villain. They're trying to be like, you know, feel bad for us, and then also F you.
Right.
And you can't do both of those. Right. If you want to make a serious and passionate plea to people to have some patience with your local brewery as they grow and
be kind to them, you know,
then that's one way to take it. And you can be the victim that way, and you can complain about your things, but you have to do it in a way that is appeasing. And is it still the best way to go? Maybe, maybe not. But then the villain, just the birds in the air to your critics, I don't think then you get to like complain then. I feel like if that's your attitude, then you just, that's your response, and you don't say anything else, and you put up or shut up. You either make what you're going to make and tune the rest of it out. You can't have it both ways. And I feel like that's what they're trying to do.
And I think a lot of this stemmed from a particular post comment about someone, and you had pointed out earlier you wanted Raymond to look at two particular cans.
Oh, I can read that comment if you'd like to hear it verbatim.
So there's a comment where someone said something to the effect of they bought a 6-pack of beer.
Oh, here we go. Let me just read it. Yeah, I don't want to take anybody's words.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so they posted this original post that I read before, to which someone commented, "Fair points all around." Okay, they're being very generous. Mm-hmm. But what do you say to the consumer who pays $12 expecting to buy 6 cans of beer that taste the same, and they get 3 that taste like a science project? Do you really expect us to come back and buy more after the experience?
Yeah. And here's the thing that caught me about this is there is this whole thing with the picture and their explanation, and they're crying poor and we can't get what we need and all these other things. If someone, and maybe that person is exaggerating, but let's take them at their word. Let's say that they are in fact buying a 6-pack of beer and 3 of them tasted great and 3 of them tasted crazy weird.
Yeah.
That isn't a problem with hops, fermentation, you know, cleanliness or anything like that. That is a problem with packaging.
Right. If those have the same date on the bottom.
Yeah, that is a packaging problem. That has nothing to do with that. And Scofflaw's response did not respond to that. It responded to get off our backs. We're trying as hard as we can. So that is the stress of a company growing faster than they anticipated and not having the resources. But it's like apples and oranges, you know, and to me that was just the most stunning thing about that. I'm like, that has to do with your canning line. If you have your own, if you have a mobile canning line, are they doing the proper sanitary things to keep it fresh and clean? Is there an issue there? So that's the thing, is that if you're putting out kegs, and you said this earlier, if you're putting out kegs and the kegs are fine, and given the, you know, you can't really deal with what particular bar is doing, but all the beer tastes great out of kegs, and then you have some random cans, this all seems like something you shouldn't even had a debate about because.
Well, I love that we're troubleshooting their problems.
Yeah, exactly. You should be able to troubleshoot and pinpoint where this problem's coming from. So that makes me like even more frustrated as, you know, someone who has maybe a little bit more knowledge than the guy who's buying a six pack from the store and going, what the heck? Well, you know, that's where the problem is.
Well, when I was at the store, so like I said, this was 2 weeks old when I picked it up, and they also had cans of this that were 4 weeks old. So they had several six packs. The four-week-old cans were silver cans with black labels. They were not the pre-printed professional cans.
Okay.
So they are making changes. They are constantly updating. But I actually, because I had read this in advance, I knew kind of what was going on here with this social media feedback when I picked these up. I went and I, you know, checked the bottom of my six to make sure they were all at least from the same date.
Right.
Because it could have been very easy to have them mixed up or whatever else. But I kind of would have noticed, at least with the canning kind of situation. I do want to say what Scott Flaw's response was to the Science Fair comment. They said, if that's what you think of our beer, then, in all caps, buy something else. Plenty of good beers out there. Skip ours and buy something else. To which the original commenter replied, got it. Will do. Thumbs up. I got to say, that guy did not take the bait at any point that I've read.
Yeah. I mean, and it's...
he seems genuinely concerned.
You know,
the Science Fair project was probably a dig. I mean, he could have said that a different way.
Yeah.
But he probably would have gotten the same response no matter how he said it.
I mean, it's rough. I mean, I've rarely, but on occasion, I've reached out to breweries when I've picked up a product.
I remember that. Yeah.
I have not done it on... in a social media sense where it was out there for the world. But I've emailed, and it was never to try and get anything for free or something. But I know the one I remember specifically is Lost Abbey, or, you know, in Port. I mean, they're all together there. But I don't remember what beer it was. I think it was Poppy. What is it? What is that called? Red Poppy.
Yes, Red Poppy.
So
yes, that's right.
There was a vintage of that that I went out, and it's a very small, you know, cork and cage bottle, and I picked one up and opened it up, and there was no sound, and it was totally flat. It was really tasty. It was delicious, you know, but I sent an email, and I thought about it for a while, and I was like, you know, what are they going to say to me, what, blah, blah, blah. But I was like, yeah, hey, just FYI. You know, bought this bottle. Beer was totally flat, and it tasted great. And I'm not unhappy with my experience, and I'm not looking for anything. I just, in case no one has said anything to you, maybe some of your corks or your cages or whatever process you're going through isn't working. You know, and they were very nice, and they said, send us your address. We'd love to send you something, and they sent me. You know, a different beer and some other, you know, like, you know, stuff, you know, and I wasn't asking for that. But at the same time, it was like, I wasn't rude about it, but I was like, maybe they don't know, you know? I mean, it's like, you know, if you spend $12 on a small bottle of beer, you expect a certain experience. Yep. But my response was, hey, I love what you're doing. I'm not going to stop buying it.
Yeah.
But just want to let you know that maybe something went wrong along the way, and if you need to fix it, so the next time, I don't want to see you fail. I want to see you succeed. So here's some, you know, some information that can help you succeed. And in kind of fast forward, you know, four years, we've gotten to this point where everyone has a knee jerk reaction on Facebook.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like breweries, companies, anyone needs to take a step back, absorb that. Not have a knee-jerk reaction back and, you know, think about what they're doing.
Scott Fly, not even a year old yet.
Really?
When this podcast comes out, their anniversary is coming out like a week or two after that. So not even a year old yet, has already tripled capacity from when they've opened. The three beers that are available in cans right now are the Basement IPA, which is their Citra Hop IPA. There's Double Jeopardy, which is the Imperial IPA with Simcoe hops, and limited release of Hooligan, which is an IPA with Galaxy hops. So,
yeah. or so they say. They have no contracts, so it could be other hops. It could be other hops.
That's what the plan.
Buy something else if you don't like it.
What the plan is. Speaking of liking it or not, I like this. Every time I've had it, I personally have had very good experience with their beer every time I've had it. I did not like to see them, especially with the kind of their meteoric rise. I had maybe a little misplaced pride. You know, like that kind of, local boys done good. They did this thing, and then I hated to see, not that people complain, because that happens. That's a fact of life. That's a growing pains thing. It happens more often than not, I'm sure. But how they responded was a little dicey for me.
I have to agree. And I've tried to make a point since this all happened to say I'm not going to avoid their product because of their reaction.
I actually bought this because of
it. Yeah. So I guess
it's working.
I guess, you know, any press is good press, so to speak. But at the same time, I think if I go to the store and I see, you know, this and maybe something else, I might go, maybe something else. So, I mean, I think there's a negative backlash to everything that you do. And I'm a very, you know, mild-mannered, you know, craft beer fan. But, you know, you might think you're talking specifically to that guy saying, you don't like what we're doing, F off. Well, you're telling a lot of people who might have the same attitude, F off. And you just really have to be careful with that. On the other end of the spectrum, I don't wish them any ill. I hope they. I mean, to grow to three times the brewing capacity or whatever. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, what they're doing is obviously reaching out to people. So keep doing what you're doing, but maybe, you know, try and, you know, tone back on the negativity. You know,
yeah, there's that. Really enjoying this beer. Good work, Scuffle. our basement here is excellent, and so I'm happy to have it. I'm just gonna kind of skip homebrewing this week because I know we're not doing any. Yeah.
This has been the longest first segment.
Yeah, ever, really. Yeah.
Ever. Kind of fun.
Raymond, what did you think? No, just
kidding. Yeah. Oh boy. I do want to say hi to Brew Drink Run listener Edgar. He is homebrewing. We'd love to have Edgar talk about his homebrewing anytime. Come stop by the show. We saw Edgar over at the Coastal Empire event a couple weeks ago. Enjoyed catching up with him, as always. And hope to have him on, talk about his kegging. And he can't stop the brewing now that he's kegging. So, Raven, can't stop the brewing now that he's kegging.
Okay.
All right, great. We got buy-in. I know that listeners are really excited to hear about my cycling update, but first let's talk about everybody's running. Keith, how's your running? Raymond, how's your running?
I'm still thinking about it.
Oh, Lord. This is the worst.
At least I was honest.
Oh, boy.
I have been thinking about it. Boy. I've been... You know what? I saw today, I got an email about how the bridge run the price goes
price
up
is
this
going
week.
Up. Mm-hmm.
So it got me thinking about it again, and the weather has turned a little bit around here.
Well, it's because there's a cyclone off
well,
the coast.
Well, I know.
Your Brew Drink Run weather report brought to you by Enmark gas stations.
there's a couple of things on the horizon, and I've always enjoyed that run, and I feel like I might want to do it.
There's
again this
a
year.
Big sense of accomplishment. Longtime listeners of the show would know when we used to talk about running, we would talk about the Enmark Bridge Run once a year. It's a run over the Savannah River, over the unfortunately named Talmadge Bridge.
Maybe not for long.
And it's where you run over to the South Carolina side, or you do the double pump, which you run there and you run back. It's three times.
Three times. So the 5K is over once, and the 10K is twice.
That's it. It's one of those races where I don't remember it being necessarily fun, but there was definitely a sense of accomplishment where you felt like you had done something. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, as much as you're struggling, there are people there dressed in costumes and having fun.
I remember one year right at the end, and I'm just dying, and this guy in his full fireman gear.
Yep.
Just blows past me, mm-hmm. and I'm going, okay, he's awesome.
The last time I ran, there was a full cadre of the members of KISS wearing the platform boots and American flags in the full KISS Army uniform with the spiked shoulder pads. That was and the makeup, of course, and everything. That was fantastic. And my always favorite couple's costume, there is one person who was dressed as a lobster in a pot and another person dressed as a chef with a spatula chasing after them. I always enjoy that one. You guys ready to talk about my personal business, my personal steez this week with my
your seat?
Yeah. I just got a Facebook message from Tia Chatterton, listener to the Brew Drink Run podcast. I am definitely listening to 176 more than once. I am so sorry. I hope it has nothing to do with this. All right, quick update on my NADS, you guys. So I did some more research. We got zero feedback from Brew Drink Run listeners. Thanks
Surprise!
So much. Yeah, I know, right? Oh, I had people coming up to me.
All three that are left.
I had people coming up to me and asked me about it, but I had no one offer any feedback. So I adjusted the angle of my seat. So my seat now downslopes as opposed to being horizontal with the ground. And problem solved. Problem solved. There was just too much. The pressure point was in the wrong spot. But now I have a new problem. Now I have the pins and needles in my hands and forearms because all the pressure, because the seat is leaning forward, I'm having to like hold myself up on the seat to not slide down the seat. And so I've got extra pressure on my hands and wrists. So if you have advice for cyclists who have pins and needles, that falling asleep feeling in their hands and wrists, let me know. Email us at team@brewdrinkrun.com.
You need to compromise here. You get one of those seat covers that's the wraps that has like padding on the back, okay. So that it raises things, but it doesn't. At the same time, it's not raising your shoulders, which is
interesting.
That's my thought anyway.
Well, I'm just glad your boys are feeling better.
So much better.
Yeah, that's good.
So much better.
Look, you can deal with some hand stuff.
I also found this Chinese distributor of a cycling
Chinese
gear.
Wait. You found a Chinese distributor.
Yeah. Is that a good way to start a conversation?
What are you distributing?
I'm getting these cycling jerseys for like $8. They're really great. I have a feeling they're going to disintegrate after four more wears. But
I mean, you kind of run this show. We don't need you being arrested for illegal activities with Chinese distributors.
Jealous. Also, I've been running and I've been cycling. You guys, I don't want to pretend like I'm like living the Brew Drink Run dream over here because I'm not. But I'm kind of trying.
Well, good.
Well, how's your brewing going?
Yeah, there you go. All right.
All right. We're done.
Thanks so much.
2 out of 3. Yeah, 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
I can still wear the shirt, you guys. And you can too. Brewdrinkrun.com. Click on the store link. Oh, boy. So my MO for running lately is kind of lame, but it's working because I've increased the distances. So my deal is I walk to a point and then I run back. So they're out and backs, which I've always hated.
Yeah.
But I'm doing something different.
Okay.
And I'm extending the length every time. So today was 2.5 miles out, 2.5 miles back. And I ran
I wasn't paying attention. You said you walk out and run back?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Instead of...
No, I was just curious because I wasn't paying attention. So,
all right.
No, continue. I didn't want to keep hearing what you had to say and then not know. Oh.
And what about reading? There's a leisure time activity helps you learn things you'd like to know about many subjects.
Raymond's Book Corner.
It's my only time I have to like talk and try to just get a little, I don't know. Get a little off my chest, and that's okay. It wasn't interesting. This is another thing you don't listen to, so
keep... Wait, I'm sorry, what are we talking about? Are we drinking beer yet? Wait, I'm done with my beer. When's the next one?
Why don't you go get another one?
Okay.
It's the time of the show where we turn to Raymond's Book Corner.
Books! When do we start doing books?
Oh, Jesus. Sweet, sweet Jesus. This is where we get recommendations on books that no one wants to read. Especially not Keith. So why not have Audible give you a free download of the audiobook, or you could buy the real paper book or I guess that's what books are still made of at Amazon. Okay. A 30-day free trial from Audible or getting the book at brewdrinkrun.com. Click on the this episode, look at the show notes, and then go over to Amazon via the link to buy the book. Jeez, that was a long way of saying, Raymond, what book do you have for Raymond's Book Club this week?
Well, I've been doing a lot of reading of very difficult things at work, so I have been taking it very easy at home, and my kids have been really obsessed with the Squirrel Girl comic books. Yep. We have a lot of their graphic novel, her graphic novels lying around the house, so I've been picking those up, and they're fun, and they're silly, and they're goofy, and just easy to absorb. But just to kind of continue and actually turn it into a real book, there is actually a novelization of some of the Squirrel Girl. Squirrel Girl is a character in Marvel, and is actually going to be on TV pretty soon. Mm-hmm. But my daughter loves her. She's kind of a fun girl, and my daughter loves them, but my son's been reading them lately, and so I figured I needed to as well.
Squirrel Girl, an interesting book. Marvel's been under some heat lately with their Legends Reborn kind of revamp mm-hmm. that they're doing now, making retailers buy an exorbitant numbers of copies of the books in order to get the variants, which are lenticular, fancy pants variants,
yep.
and like 50 to 1. You mm-hmm. have to buy 50 copies of a standard comic book in order to get the one lenticular fancy cover.
It's just still the same story. It's just a different cover.
Different cover. This is kind of what killed comic books in the 1990s. In the 90s, and they did not notice what happened then, I guess, because they were already in the dumps at that point. Yeah. But it's Squirrel Girl. I was reading some of the comic book press about this, and they mentioned Squirrel Girl because they're talking about books that, you know, now if you sell 30,000 copies of a book, that's mm-hmm. like a huge success enough yep. to keep the title going. And that Squirrel Girl's numbers are so low, but they keep it going because the trades do so well. Hmm. And I thought that was a really interesting way of looking at it, that they honestly could just drop the serial and just make the trades. I mean, it's the same amount of work,
yeah.
you know, same time schedule, but anywho, is there one Squirrel Girl trade in particular you recommend? Just start at the beginning, just pick up volume one?
I've been reading, I just picked it up at volume one. The second one has a Doctor Doom story that's particularly kind of fun.
Doom.
Yeah.
All right. To get your copy, I'm guessing this is not an Audible release, so if you want to get...
No, but I'm curious about the novel.
The novel, yeah. And the Miles Morales Spider-Man book just has a novelization that came out, too. Mm-hmm. And
there's a Doctor Strange novelization.
There you go. All right. Brewdrinkrun.com. Go to this episode's show notes. This is episode 178. And click on the link to get some Squirrel Girl. We'll be right back. Alright, Squirrel Girls and Squirrel Boys. Oh no. I pushed a button. It was the wrong button. That was the theme music to our grand tasting.
So grand.
Keith, what are we finishing the show out with today?
We have a Rogue Cold Brew IPA. This is an. Oh, wow. That was really popping.
Alright.
It's in cans, if you couldn't tell. This is India Pale Ale blended.
Hey, Stop pouring. Give me some of yours. I don't really
want to hold them. All right. Blended with cold brew coffee. So this is a blend of both a brewed IPA and a cold brew coffee. Coffee is, the cold brew is provided by, what's the name of that? Sumptown, which I'm guessing is...
Sumptown?
Oh, Sumptown, all right.
Yeah, Sumptown's got
I pronounced that wrong, I apologize. Apparently it's Sumptown.
No, they've got a great reputation.
Okay. So are they in Oregon up there? Okay. So
I nodded again. I'm really bad at podcasts.
Okay. So that's what we got here. I've actually had this beer before. Right towards the end of the Brew Drink Run daily beer review, I picked up a bottle of this because I was excited
R.I.P.
to try it. Huh? Yep.
R.I.P.
Yep. It's
Stumptown.
Anyways, so this is what we got. They sent this out to us. This box showed up at my doorstep. It had some cans of this, and I thought, well, I've already reviewed it, so let's have it on the podcast, right? I thought,
well, what the hell?
Yeah, why not? I mean, we got to do something with it.
Let's let the boys try it. Raymond, this is a canned cold brew IPA, 12 fluid ounces. What else can you tell me about it from the way it looks?
Well, the can itself is a nice bright green color. We've got two cans happening today that have big, bold colors.
Two cans. Quack, quack.
Oh, man. This
nerdiest thing we've ever done right there.
Really? Really?
I don't know. That was...
Two cans.
I know you don't
listen to this podcast, but come on.
That was pretty
listen,
lame.
He doesn't even pay attention when we're doing it.
I'm sorry, what? So you walked out and ran back? Is that... I already forgot. I'm sorry. All right, Raymond, let's continue the podcast.
All right, so green can.
So I walked out.
And then I ran his podcast. Okay.
All right, good.
All right. Oh, there's coffee beans and a hop on here and black lettering, and it's a nice big rogue striking can.
It's a good looking can. It's a pretty sharp looking can.
The beer itself looks like...
Whoa, I didn't ask you about what the beer looked like.
Sorry.
Right? I gotta say, my favorite thing always about the Rogue branding is that pseudo-communist, Cold War era.
That's a good point. Yeah.
I feel like in today's America, we need to talk about Rogue's branding and the imperialist...
Cold War propaganda.
Cold War cold brew. We brought it back around. All right, in a glass, Raymond.
In a glass. So... maybe not quite like looking at a cup of coffee in a glass, but not too far off. It's really kind of dark. It's got that coffee color. What was that? coffee look to it. Kind of warm brown.
It really is kind of a mix between coffee and IPA.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little bit darker, but it really has that kind of caramel reddish tones that you might expect from cold brew coffee and mixed with an IPA.
It smells amazing.
Yes, it does.
It smells really, really good.
I gotta tell you, I've always loved the idea of just coffee and beer. Those are like my two of my favorite things, just combined. And this is a nice one because the cold brew idea is really kind of cool.
I mean, there's been a few coffee IPAs that I've had, but this is the first one that I can... I don't know if they've been blending them post. You know, like, I think some people have been brewing with a little bit of coffee or adding coffee beans, you know, post-fermentation. But this is, I mean, they clearly distinctly say coffee. There's coffee in this. There's a blend of the IPA they produced, coffee, and I assume after that they carbonate it and package it.
It's 200 gallons of cold brew coffee. Now, it doesn't say what the number of gallons of beer or barrels of beer. So we don't know what the proportions are here, but that's a lot of coffee.
It
200
is.
200 gallons.
And you guys, it smells great.
It does.
Yeah.
It really just smells. I mean, it's got that great, rich coffee aroma. And so often with beers that are these coffee beers, they're stouts. They're meatier. They've got a caramel. They've got a dark fruit. They've got this other stuff that's competing with it. And this is a whole lot of coffee, but there is some of the beer element coming through too.
I get a lot of coffee initially, but the more I smell it, the more I get the IPA character. I get
just
that kind of
note.
That pine, maybe a touch of citrus, which is common in coffee. So it could be a combination of those things going on.
Well, and the flavor, as someone who drinks a lot of just black iced coffee, I love cold brew coffee. I've gotten to the point where I have a maker at home. I do my own cold brew coffee. And I love having it. And this is a really nice blend because I think a lot of people are surprised who maybe don't drink cold brew and just associate coffee with being so bitter and acidic. Cold brew really enhances the sweetness of the beans. It enhances some of those more subtle flavors. And so if you really like coffee but haven't gone out and had cold brew coffee, totally recommend doing that, especially some of the different varietals that bring in some of those citrus fruits, like you were saying. because with this, there's a tangerine note in it. Mm-hmm. There's a really nice light brightness while still incorporating so many elements that we associate with coffee. I mean, there is a bitterness, there is that, but that could just as much be from the meddling with the IPA as the coffee itself. So it's a really interesting mix.
Well, I kind of feel like it transitions. It starts off with that sweetness that you do expect from a good coffee. It goes into the bitterness that also comes along with the coffee bean, but that bitterness kind of melds and transitions into that hop bitterness. So the hop is very apparent at the end of the drink. I feel like
that lingers. Yeah, you're absolutely right. That hop bitterness lingers, and then my end finish is a little bit of chocolate. It's not bad. Mm-hmm. Not bad at all.
This is really interesting, because when I reviewed this beer, when I drank it the first time, maybe it wasn't quite as fresh as this, or it was a little bit different. Obviously, it was probably a different vintage or brew or batch, if you will. I found that the coffee the first time I had this and the IPA were very disjointed. Like, I got IPA and I got coffee, and I liked both of them, mm-hmm. but they weren't melding together. Mm-hmm. I'm having a much different experience this time around. I'm feeling like they're all like those hops. And the greenness of the hops is melding with the greenness of the coffee, mm-hmm. And some of those citrus notes that you can get in coffee is mixing with the hops. I feel like everything's coming together, and we actually had a person, one of the probably four people who read my beer reviews back in the day, who made a comment. He's like, I didn't find it to be, you know, he actually made a comment apparently with me saying that it seemed disjointed to say, oh, I don't, you know, I felt like it wasn't, you know. And
shout
and,
him out. Who is it?
Let's see. It was...
do we really want to do this? Because Keith, you know, posted a picture of him flipping the bird.
Yeah, Keith's response was just middle fingers in the air.
No, my response was very, very polite, and it was very wonderful. Felix Saldivar, I guess.
That's good. What's up, Felix? Thanks, man.
And it's just interesting. I mean, maybe it was, like I said, a little bit less fresh, but I feel like there's a nice meld of those two things. Now, I'm hearing you guys talk, you guys clearly like coffee more than I do. To me, it's something that I whip together in the morning to get myself going. So I think this is really interesting. As much as I enjoy different coffee flavors and beers and picking them out, and some are more intense or more nutty or some of the other flavors, you guys really obviously like coffee more than I do, because I'm like going, I get coffee and I get some coffee on the coffee, and you guys are picking out more notes. So it just goes to show that, you know, different people pick up on different things. But I will say that basically, you know, I could kind of say, oh, well, never mind about that part of that review, you know. I think some of the flavors I'm getting are the same, but they're melding together. They're coming together much better than they did the first time I tried this beer.
I can see this being very divisive for people. And I was a little surprising at first to see the Beer Advocate review or overall score being an 88. But that's probably fair. And especially as you go through and you think about these are, you know, people's different palates and different ideas and different preferences. 88 probably is about right for this. With that kind of, I would probably go a little bit higher on me, just because I do really like and appreciate that coffee, but I understand there being some strife and struggle, because at the same time, I could see people who do really love coffee or really love Rogue's IPAs to also not be 100% on board with this, because it's not overly balanced to one or the other. Yeah. And I think that your initial kind of reaction that they were very divergent, I don't know that that's far off. I think that they do kind of stand alone and stand side by side for me, but in a way that I enjoy. I don't know that it is really like a true intermingling, like a new beast. It's almost like a black and tan in a way, like where you're getting these two different things, but I like what they do together.
That's great, but I feel like for me, this experience is different than the first one that I had. I feel like the two elements are actually starting to blend together much better. Like, I take a sip and I'm getting some of the the caramel malt and some of the caramel notes of the coffee, and then the hops and those flavors are melding. Everything's kind of coming together a lot better than my first experience, and it makes me think, well, maybe this beer was, maybe it was fresher, maybe it was older. You know, there's a lot of differences there, but yeah, I mean, I'm not, like I said, I'm not a big coffee nerd, but I really kind of enjoying how this is all coming together.
Originally, this beer was made available in Rogue's large format bottles.
Yeah.
I like this in 12-ounce cans a lot. Yeah. The idea of that a lot more. Yeah. I think that would be a little much to drink a full, 22? I think they're 22 bottles.
I don't remember having a huge problem with that, but at the same time, I think it depends on time of day and whatnot. You know, I mean, we're talking about a can that has literal coffee in it, so you're talking about maybe we're gonna, you know, there could be some side effects to the caffeine and those kinds of things. But yeah, it was fine. I mean, it was, you know, you gotta pace yourself, but I was able to get through it all.
Coffee and beer, obviously not a new thing. We mentioned the stouts. There's also a beer festival in Chicago called Upwards and Downers, which is a coffee and beer festival.
Oh.
It's put on by the Good Beer Hunting folk. They kind of organize it and put it on every year. It's been growing, and I kind of get it. I see those two spheres overlapping, maybe more than not. You know, just people who do get very nerdy about their beer and nerdy about their coffee and that sort of thing.
Well, there's a greenness to coffee that lends itself to being in an IPA exceptionally well. It's taken a little bit of time for it to be created, but I was thinking when I was coming over here to podcast about coffee IPAs that I've had, and the only one that I can really remember off the top of my head is, I know Monday Night, which is a local Atlanta, Georgia brewery for us, did one. I don't know. Do you guys remember any others? Because I feel like there's been several, but I couldn't quite remember, you know, the ones that
Rongo Boyo from Burnt Hickory is a banana Foster coffee IPA.
Oh yeah, I have had that. It was pretty good.
Did Allagash do a coffee IPA?
They did the James Bean.
James Bean.
I don't think it was an IPA.
Was Java the Hop? Was I don't know. I like the name. Yeah. McKellar's Coppy Coffee IPA you've had. Mm-hmm. The Monday Night Brewing is the Bedhead IPA that you liked.
I did, but I remember that one, the coffee coming off extremely green. Like you know, almost like green bell pepper green. You know, like there was like a very green flavor to that, but it worked really well. It was maybe a little shocking at the time, but I really liked
how that review you attributed it to the hops and not the coffee, but that could have
been it was the coffee.
Rogue's Cold Brew IPA, of course, in the list. Stone's Enjoy By February 14th 2017 was a chocolate and coffee IPA.
Okay.
You had that one.
All right.
Beanery Costa Rica Coffee IPA.
That's not a thing. yeah, so it looks like you've got, I mean, like the search for coffee IPA turns up about 8 results.
I mean, I knew I'd had a few, but I couldn't quite remember or place them. The only one that I remember was probably the first one I had, which was that Monday Night. So,
yeah. Good times, you guys.
Indeed.
I like this beer a lot. I would totally. And I think especially in this format, in this can, you know, I don't have to share it with anybody. I can just have it. I do. There's something really yin and yang about that upper and downer aesthetic, about, you know, the caffeine and the alcohol and how they work together that I like the idea of. But I also just like really good coffee, and I like really good beer, and I feel like this is good enough of both of those to be happy with this.
Oh yeah.
I'm not gonna do a beer review theater today. I feel like we have talked enough. We have enlightened our listeners with ways to respond to criticism on social media. We have enlightened our listeners.
Bring it.
We
will be very polite. Bring it.
With recommending a comic book about an empowered young woman. I feel like we have enlightened our listeners by, you know, talking about just out of the box. Let's combine coffee and beer. Why not? And most of all, I feel like we have really enlightened listeners by encouraging them, don't listen to your friends. there's nothing. I mean, they're opening up. They're really trying to share with you. Don't listen. Just assume that whatever they're saying is just background noise. And just chime in later with.
I'm sorry, what?
Yep. All right. For more about us and Brew Drink Run, go to brewdrinkrun.com. Follow us on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, all at Brew Drink Run. Leave us a review, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you grab your podcast. We want to hear from you. Give us some stars. Give us some words. That helps more people to find out about the show, as does those social media avenues. Visit brewdrinkrun.com. Click on the store link to buy our merch. Our theme music is by Morning Lights. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you. Bye. Cheers.
What was that?
What? I'm sorry, what?
I stopped caring a long time ago.